Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the podcast, David.
How you doing? Thanks so much, Roy. I appreciate it.
I very seldom, well, I say that quite often, but yeah, we had a really good conversation yesterday. I was on your podcast. Thank you for that. And we just spoke and spoke and spoke for hours. So I thought, why not get you on here? Let's hear a bit more about David. And yeah, tell us a bit more about yourself.
All right. Well, I just ended a 30-year career. I got the golden handshake from corporate America. I was in legal, but it was one of those jobs. I knew it was coming. You know, when you work with certain, you see the patterns. If you're smart enough, you see the patterns. So I knew that as I got older, that bullseye was going to hit me. And I came, and I laid on the grenade a little bit. When they started announcing it, I walked over to my boss, and I go, I know at this point, our group had not been touched over the years with a lot of cuts. I go, I know somebody's going to have to do it. And I remember that you were stressed out. I go, how about put me as the number one? If I could save anybody else's job, let me do it. I had just gone through the DISC assessment. You ever have one of those DISC assessments?
Yeah.
Yep. I was a complete I, like almost off the charts I, which is, for those who don't know, is like that creative who, and the rest of the group was all categorized together. And I was like, wow, if that's not a visual. And so I was okay. And then when I first left, I started helping out a friend. I was his chief operating officer for a small company, manufacturing company, furniture manufacturing company. So it was a complete different business that I had gone through. And then a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I had a heart problem. I didn't know I had a heart problem until you do it. And so I would tell everybody on the audience who's listening, please go get yourself checked up. When you don't know there's a problem, you might see that you're overweight or things like that. That I knew. I have mirrors in my house, but I didn't know that I had 98% blockages, that a boo could have ended it all differently. And
it's such a thing that, right, we go into life and we just don't value our wellness.
Well, we think it's okay, right? I thought it wasn't going to touch me because wellness is, hey, I know what I'm doing. It's the ICTA disease that I talk about. I know that already. Like, I knew I shouldn't be eating McDonald's and fast food, but I was getting home late at work and I was living by myself. So what's the quickest thing? Well, now I make sure that if I come home late, I'm still going to have a quick meal, or I now only put things in my pantry, yogurts and things that are going to be healthier for me that I should have done before. Like, let's be honest. I can't play stupid. I could, but it wouldn't be authentic to me, in that I knew that I needed to take better care of myself. And now I've done. I mean, in the 6 weeks, I've already reduced like 12 or 13 pounds. So I went to rehab and they laughed at me. They go, even your blood pressure, man, your blood pressure is great. You were like 99 over 64, which is exactly great what you're doing. And that's during a workout. So I know what I had to do. I just didn't find the urgency. And
now you have the urgency.
Well,
so let's go back to,
sure,
what are some formative experiences in your life that you can share with people?
Well, I've had a lot. So one of the first formative experiences was the losing of a girlfriend at age 20. I told her to go to a party, don't worry about it. And she got hit by a drunk driver. She was on the sidewalk and she was killed by a drunk driver. And I didn't know how much how formative, right? In our 20s and back in the day, so that's about 30 years ago at this point. And they're just like, don't worry about it, you'll get over it, right? That talking about what we don't, but it really is goes for everybody. The things that you don't try to heal through, those are the things that hold us back. So I didn't know that how it held it back. Obviously, I got on, I had got married. But during the pandemic, I was sitting by myself in the house. I was divorced, and I started reading some old poems. And I didn't know that I was holding on to some survivor guilt that I told her. I was the last person to speak to her from the family and things like that. And that's one of the things that I've been formative. It was always changing me. I didn't know how much growing I needed to do. I knew I needed to move on, as everybody suggested, but I didn't know how much forgiveness I needed to be part of that situation. And this grief is one of those things that it really lives within us. And how we handle it, that's one of the things that we don't give it enough time, right? Everybody puts a different timeline on it. I mean, even when my own parents passed away, people told me what to do, or like this, my mom was in Houston and I live in New York, so we weren't close, but I had gone down there in August when we knew what was going on. And they were like, are you going to run back down? I go, no, this isn't a Hollywood movie. I go, I've already said my goodbyes. I go, there's nothing for me to do. And I paid respects to my mom in a lot of different ways, including her having a picture of me holding her hand in my book, the first book that I published.
Cool. Yeah. Well, bless you. Tell us about your books. I mean, you're an author. I'm now an author. We are authors together. And
That's it. We're in the club.
how therapeutic is it to just write?
Well, I love it. So I've published a couple of books, and I have some books. When we were talking yesterday, this health scare was like, oh, I have all these books in my computer. If I close my eyes, my kids weren't going to look for dad's books. They were going to reboot, and they have a brand new computer. So the first book I published is the one that you could see behind, for anybody who's seeing it. It says, When Your Heart Says It's Your Time to Soar. And that book is a bunch of poems and stories, including a story about Sandy, the young woman who got. But we all live in our lives where we have a birth, right? We were born, and we learn of those things. The story about Sandy was about your first love. And I didn't know that for me, that one of my loves in my life should be me. I had had that
Yeah.
going through, but your first love, you remember those days, and you hope that even if you're not with that first love, that you can still bring back that specialness with whatever relationship you are in. And that's where I bring it to myself. So now, no matter what, I look at the relationship I have with myself. When I'm not happy with the behaviors, I know how to change it. That's one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I now teach it. I train executives to have that. And then the middle part of this book is that messy part, that part that we get through. We get lost on a path. Ram Dass says we walk each other home, and you get lost along the path. And I have a comic book that actually came out called The Pathfinder about what happens when you get lost and the advice that you might get from a pathfinder, from somebody who knows a little bit more, who might see it a little differently than you do. And then at the end of that book, this book is the time to soar. Wherever we are in our lives, we want to up level, right? Until you die, I believe that you should always be up leveling. That doesn't mean you need to make more money. Up leveling could be in a lot of different ways, through charitable ways. It's about being, you and I have talked, Roy, about being that person. To what do you want to do? What is rich doesn't mean money. Rich means the freedom to do what you want. And that's what soaring looks like. Think about every layer when we go on a plane, every height that you start going, you see more and more. And the same thing goes with each one of us.
It's amazing how the things that, as we go through this journey of life, the things that are important to us change on a daily basis, right?
For sure. Yeah.
And yeah, I talk a lot to people about being in the sympathetic mode, being in fight or flight all the time, and it always comes back to me that so many people, when they worry about things, the things that they worry about never come to pass.
Well, yeah, one of the things I taught, I don't want to, when I do speaking, I said the monsters in our head are much worse than the monsters under our beds when we were children. What we create in ourselves, and you mentioned about that fight or flight response system. I actually teach people how to reset themselves automatically within 10 or 15 seconds, truthfully. It starts by building, and it's through science. I had learned this when I had gone to therapy throughout my life. It's called the Havening Touch, and I call it your personal reset button. It's just really, I'll show you. If you just rub your hands in a circular motion for about 10, 15 seconds, it'll start generating delta waves in your mind. And
Okay.
the delta waves are the brain waves we use when we go to sleep. So you'll automatically use, that's the biohacking, you'll be able to relax yourself whenever you get stressed. Now, a lot of people go, hey, I already do that. Yeah, you didn't know you were feeling good. That's why you do it. A lot of speakers do that. I do that all the time. When I need to refocus myself, I'll just rub my hands a little bit, get my breath in there. We talked a little bit yesterday about breathing. Breathing's always important. It's one of the hobbies we have that we want to keep doing. But putting that all together, you then can heal yourself. You can figure out your response system. When I train people, I train people to think quicker by being a little bit slower, taking those practice the pause, they call it in a lot of ways. It really is when you remove some of the obstacles that we see in that fight or flight, the amygdala based stuff, you then can make more easier decisions. It's magic. I've seen it with people, with high performing people. I've worked with clients who are right under the top levels of business as well as sports. And I'm like, just give me a couple of minutes and I'll get you to refocus. And it's a lot more than just refocusing.
Cool. Now let's talk about your journey into entrepreneurship. There's nothing more special to me than that moment when an entrepreneur said takes ownership of themselves, right? So,
Sure.
okay, I can see a problem out in the world and I'm going to go and fix that problem. Yeah. And then the difference between entrepreneurs and other people is other people can all see what's a great business idea, but they don't do it. They don't take that step. Yeah, so tell us about that step for yourself.
Well, when I started learning the Havening Touch, my therapist was like, "Man, you're different." He goes, "In 30 years of practice, I've not seen," he goes, "maybe on a hand, people like you who just like embrace the knowledge." And I think you should get certified. And my bachelor's degree was in behavioral sciences. He goes, "Oh my God, of course." And that was where I started my journey on entrepreneurship. I wanted to help as many people to get over those living a stress-filled life or a panicked-filled life, right? I learned a lot of the triggers that I had in my life, and I was like, wow, if I can heal it, look what my life has changed. Look what I've done to change. And I would love to train somebody to do that for themselves. It's not about me, it's about what they could do for themselves. So I'd been trained with the mental wellness, but the thing about what mental wellness, a lot of people want it. A lot of people don't want to work for it. And so the challenge was, and I had a really good job. I worked for Fortune 50 companies, and I worked at one of the top law firms in the world that I was kind of comfortable. So I was just like, okay, this is a side hustle, right? And then came to the point when I was like, no, this is what I do. I help people write books. As you knew, I was an author. So people are like, how'd you do that? I can't write a book. I'm like, no, don't tell me you can't. I'm gonna show you. Well, I can't. Okay, so then I used my mental wellness background because I knew it would work because I worked in the substance disease area because I became a certified recovery coach. So I knew how to help people under extreme pressures. And then I said, okay, so let's teach you how to write a book. Completely different set of pressures, but same way, because sometimes if you're writing something difficult, some of the traumas, like I know your life, you had that horrible accident at 19, that if you were going to write a book about that, that might be difficult just because of all the things that you went through. But that doesn't mean you won't do it. It just means you just need to figure out how to talk about it a little differently. So I've been with the entrepreneurship is I've been teaching people how to do branding. I know how I have a branding background. One of the limiting beliefs that I heard when I went to college was, well, you don't know how to draw, you can't do accounting or marketing. And I let them believe that, and I got my bachelor's degree in something different,
Right.
but I still have that passion. Or I you and I could talk, and if I sit it with somebody, I know what they need to do for their business, like intuitively, as well as coming up with the right branding. I mean, that's why my whole branding, when you look at it, it all aligns. Even my podcast, it aligns with that soaring, or the peace, love, and bring a bat. It's the brat. The bat is about being awesome today and finding that awesomeness for each person. So that's what I've been doing the past couple of years in the entrepreneurship. So I had to retool myself as well, learn, and then figure out what people really want, because I spent a lot of money on being an entrepreneur. I thought, looking for the quickest way to get to the top of the what I thought the top of the chain was. And really what happened is there's a lot of people that I saw taking money and not producing the things. And I'm one of those moral, ethical, integrity guys, and I have stories about that as well, that I wanted to make sure that people aren't. If anybody who gives me a dollar, I'm gonna make sure that they get $2 worth of value. And that's what I've been doing, is I've been telling people, getting myself in a little trouble. I'm not a big compilation book guy, so I don't think that, yes, to tell your story is powerful, but to be in a compilation book, you're building somebody else's brand. There's no reason to not, in this day and age, to not be able to build your own brand and take that stand in life. And that's where I'm doing the entrepreneurs. I'm fully embraced. My podcast that you were on, it, Listen Notes, has it ranked in the top 2% in the world. I saw it's creeping up on Good Pods, has it in the top 46 for independent podcasts, spiritual podcasts. So I think I'm doing something right. I don't, I
The
just,
question is, do you get up in the morning and look forward to the day? Because that's my yardstick.
I do. I do. Again, I had a 30-year corporate career. I liked my job, but man, I have so much more energy now. What I get done in it, I mean, they told me to sit, and what did they tell me to sit? I said, all right. I've recorded 30 episodes in a month of my podcast. So it's, I love doing it. I love being on podcasts, as well as learning from people like you, experts like you. And that's what I do, is I love the conversation. I'm also ghostwriting 4 books. That's what gets me up every morning, this entrepreneur journey, because I know that and it's not about me. It's about the value that I've helped add, that somebody else could do it. It's that butterfly effect.
And that's I think there's a real disparity in the entrepreneur world that I see, right? And I've been there. I've lived through this many times. We go out, we start being entrepreneurs because we have this idea of freedom, right? And there are so many tools out there that can help us, but we're also proud people, right? We don't want to accept help, right?
Oh, it's so hard. Yeah, no.
It's like, okay, I can see that person over there doing this thing, so I should be able to do it, right? And then you try and do it and you can't. And for me, I had a I do skydiving. I do well, I jump out of airplanes for fun, crazy as it is. And probably, I don't know, it was maybe 2005. I went in and invested in Airkicks, which is one of these iFly tunnels, right? So I paid some money in there, and part of that was we could get time for cheaper, and cheaper was £600 an hour, so it wasn't that cheap, right? But so I'd bought this 10 hours of time to go and be a better skydiver, and I was still a baby skydiver then. I'm still a baby skydiver now. I think you always are. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And I went in and I was trying to fly myself, right? I was just trying to work it out myself, and I did 6 hours worth of just banging my head against the wall. And one of my friends was a coach, and he said to me, "Listen, Roy, just get some coaching." I kept on pushing him off. "Oh no, I can figure this out." And eventually he took pity on me. He's like, "Okay, I'm going to give you half an hour of my time coaching, and just see how you get on." And in that half an hour, I learned so many things from what I couldn't see. You can't read the label from inside the jar. Right.
Yeah.
That just changed my entire perception. Now I have my own business coach. I mean, I'm a business coach. I have my own business coach. I have AI coaches. I have, free diving coaches. I have skydiving coaches. As soon as I want to learn something, I'm like, okay, somebody else has learned the lesson. So yeah, let's go to the expert in the field, right?
Right, we shouldn't ever be the smartest guy in the room, always wanting to learn. There's always an aspect of our lives. That's why even when I ghostwrite, I can help people publish, but I'm not trying to be a publisher. I'm not, look, if I get a flat in my car, I could change the tire, but I'm not going to start fixing my car. I'm not a mechanic. It's not my strength. That's where I tell people, don't look for the people, see what they've done. Like yourself, you could be a business coach, or you are a business coach because you've done it. Now, I've ran small businesses, but you sometimes I wouldn't put myself out as a business coach. I could tell you branding because I have a background in that. I could tell you intellectual property and how to get patents and trademarks. Even though I'm not an attorney, trademarks I could do because that is work that I've done for years. So it's knowing the difference and knowing your lane and staying in your lane is so important, but also then making sure that you're not that proud to say, I don't know. That was the one thing that I learned. Again, another one of my moments is I attempted suicide 6 years ago. And at that time, I thought I knew all the answers. I knew how to do it all. I just didn't use my resources. And that's what I do now, is I make sure. So if you come over to me and I'm not feeling good that day, I'll say, hey, Roy, today's not a good day. That doesn't mean it's not a good day forever. Right now, that's how it feels. But I also will say, I know what I have to do. I mean, that's why there's some of my non-negotiables. When I talk about non-negotiables, part of my health is my non-negotiables. My mental health. That's why when I was in the hospital with my physical health, I thought my physical health was in good shape. Well, once the doctor started talking to me, I go, I hear you. I go, done. And they thought I was kind of blowing them off. And I go, no, it's already done. I don't need to talk about it anymore. I've made that shift. My mindset is good. Again, there'll be days that I'll have, we all feel not great, but the mindset and those shifts, that's what we need to do, is just keep pushing ourselves to learn as much as we can. And when we don't know, let's ask that question.
I mean, now, I think entrepreneurs are generally people that are learners. Now, we learn, we go out and we're hungry for knowledge, right? And we really push and push and push. And I love the world that we're going into now. There's a lot of negative about AI, but I'm so positive about it because I can just see a world where, every single piece of information I need is at my fingertips. I just need to know how to ask the right question. Yeah, and need to know how to interact and how to realize the limitations and the guardrails and all these things that you need. But after that, there are no limitations anymore. And the world is going to change in such a way, over the next probably 18 months that nobody can even perceive what it is. So putting yourself in the situation now to learn and learn and learn is a real powerful place to be.
100%. That was part of our conversation afterwards, right? The things I don't know is not because I don't want to know. It's just I don't know, right? There's a million tools out there with AI that, like, I was looking for just videos, right? I was playing with Sora when Sora was out there, and I loved it. I did some promotional stuff, then they killed Sora. So I'm like, okay, what's the next? And I've been asking friends that, what do I use? Oh, you can use this, you can use that. I was like, no, just give me one thing easy to use. Like I don't need anything fancy. I know, because I'm a creative, I know what I need to do, the prompts or what I want it to look like. And because of that, I can feed it right, but I don't know the right tools. I don't want to be chasing down rabbit holes just for the sake of chasing down some cool things. I think that's where we go back to entrepreneurs, where they do want to the best, they want everything, but we go down too many rabbit holes in many cases because we're afraid to say, hey, Roy, I don't know, man. Can you help me out? Or Dave, can you help me out?
There's this, I call it shiny shit. I have shiny shititis.
For sure.
And I think the curse of the entrepreneur is that we can see an opportunity in every problem. Right. And it's okay, I can fix that. I can help that. I can, yeah. And really bring your focus down to your vision is so important, right? Just trying to stay, like you said, stay in your lane. But it's so difficult, right? I used to have this thing with my family that said, okay, Roy, one in, one out. And because I was starting businesses, sometimes three or four at a time, right? I had an IT company, I had an air conditioning company, I had a small business IT company, I had a home IT company, all of these different things, at once. I had a business in a box and all these things running. And and that's the curse of the entrepreneur, is like you can see so many opportunities, but understanding in yourself that you can only do one or two of them correctly, I think that's a big skill to learn.
100%. It's also, I go back to always, how do you time management, right? So you can do all the things, but you have to be very strict to your time, right? So if you want to research, then okay, for the next 2 hours, you want to do that. Find time for your physical health, and not just put it on a calendar. You have to actually do it, right? Putting on a calendar is nice. That's the first step, but it's the doing part, and that's where a lot of us get stuck, right? Oh, but this, it took me longer than, right? The curse of the entrepreneur. It took me longer than what I thought it would. And,
Sure, yeah.
it's going to happen, but that's where you set yourself, don't set yourself up with 1,000 tasks every day. What are the three things you want to get up? And always start off the day as with something that you could do. So like for me, when I do that, I start off the day with a meditation. So I'm already resetting myself for the day. No matter what happened yesterday, I say gratitudes. I go, even when yesterday might not have been well, I go, thank you for those opportunities. What did I learn out of it? And then I say, I do a little prayer. So there's a connection with that. And then I always have a low-hanging fruit. What's the next thing that I could do that I'll feel successful? And I try to then put on the old eat the frog theory is, okay, what's the one thing I don't want to do, and do that first. I know there's a di I know there's a bunch of different things, but I like to eat the frog
Get it out
first.
the way, right? Yeah.
Yeah, get it out, because then it's all downhill, right? Who wants to climb uphill, and then when you have the least energy, tackle something that you're not going to be as focused because you don't like to do it. I would rather be like, man, I don't like it. Let me grab my cup of tea in my sense, and all right, let's go tackle this beast. That's why
It's never as bad as you thought it was once you start, right? So it's
100%. As a speaker, among those eat the frog tasks are applications for speaking. So you don't get accepted a lot. So there's a lot of, oh, woe is me type things. And I'm like, no, okay, I know that I qualify for each one of those. I don't apply for anything that I don't. And that's where it goes back to entrepreneurs. Is do the things that you could do, not that you want to do. If you don't wake up in the morning excited about it, but you can make money, then that's where you look for the joint ventures. You look for the people who are good at that.
We have a book that I really like is Who Not How. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, who's your who? And yeah, for me, I read that, I don't know, only about 6 months ago now. I've had it on the bookshelf for a while, and I read it 6 months ago, and it really struck me that my who, in big part, is now my AI. I'm sitting here this morning just before I jumped on this podcast. I have a Codex machine working over there. It's currently busy building me a website. Okay, I have this machine over here is busy building me a just cutting up a podcast from yesterday into smaller chunks, and making that all right. The machine over here was busy doing some AdWord work, and I was orchestrating all of these different agents, and I think people see what's possible now, and then they get really bit quite scared of it, because it is. It's taken me 3 years of digging into AI at a deep level to get to this level, right? And that's you have to go through the process of learning. You have to go through step by step by step to understand it. And this journey of mastery that I think you said before, people don't want to go and do the work. You have to do the work, right?
It's that 10,000-hour rule, and while AI can shorten some of the knowledge, but you are the one who's doing it. That's what I tell people. I go, you can create copy with AI, but what's your copy look like? If your copy and my copy looks alike, we're both doing a disservice to each one of us. Vanilla is a great flavor, but nobody runs out the street to go, I got vanilla, right? We like chocolates, strawberries, all the other flavors that are out there. And it's the white noise that we to get out of. How do you get out of that white noise? You have to do things that are different. I mean, again, it's when you were on my podcast yesterday and you said when you heard Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat, it made you smile. I go, I needed somebody to start off smiling because then they can ask me, what does it mean? And I walk around in a green suit. I have a teal suit that I walk around in. I don't do it because I look good in it. I do, but it's because I want them to remember, oh, that dude in the green suit, let's Google him. Let's find out. You can find those are the things that become a brand, that become the power that really becomes who we are and what we do.
There was a guy in the UK that used to bring his pineapple to meetings. I don't know if you heard about that one.
I didn't hear that one.
He would, every meeting, every sales meeting he went to, he'd take a pineapple with him, right? And he'd put it on the table, and he'd just have the meeting. Then he'd get up and he'd leave with the pineapple. Sometimes people would ask him about the pineapple, and he'd say, "Well, yeah, there's 15 people coming to this quote or to this RFI, and you're not going to remember them." But you're going to remember the pineapple, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Think of the way and be authentic about it. I mean, that's what the bat is. Everybody, it is a play off of my New York accent. So, for those who didn't guess, I have a New York accent. But the bat, everybody's like, oh, they think the violence. Come on, yeah, what we're gonna? I'm like, no, it's peace and love. But you need to. The bat is also about talking about boundaries. I mean, there's a lot of times that I'll have tough conversations with people, and they're like, man, you were supposed to be talking about peace and love. And I'm like, no, I also know how to bring a bat. I know the boundaries. Now I try not to use, I don't use violence, but I want to bring that awesome thoughts and I'm going to be authentic, right? Being authentic today, who I am today is who I'm going to be going forward. And I'll fine tune that all along. And that's what you need to do. And entrepreneurs, they don't. That's why I hate when I hear entrepreneurs say, man, I'm going to rebrand. Like, no, your brand should be you. It doesn't matter the name. I mean, look at all the big conglomerate companies. They have multiple brands underneath them. That's why I can have It's Your Heart when Your Heart Says It's Time to Soar and Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat at the same thing. I'm the same person. I'm telling you the same message. It just comes at it a little differently. And doing that, that's what it really becomes. And that's what I always work on. And I've been getting real success with people that I work with in the entrepreneur space, because once you get through that clarity that you mentioned earlier, that clarity, then people know who you are, and that's when you can bring a pineapple or bring a bat.
For sure. So just before we wrap up, what's been the most exciting for you over the last since you've started this new venture? What really kind of gets you excited about the day?
There's a few things. So because of that mental wellness background and that I know how to teach people and help people through some traumatic events they've gone through. So some of those have been really cool, is where I've helped somebody and they come back to me. And one gentleman who lets me share generally this story, he was a veteran. He punched me in the arm. He goes, that thing you did with me, he goes, talk to my girlfriend about it. I'm like, all right, well, I talk to his girlfriend. He comes back and punches me in the arm. He goes, I don't have those dreams anymore. He was a Vietnam vet and he had it for 50 plus years. And then I worked with him and he was able to get past that. So I have stories like that. Then I have a story of a gentleman who was just playing softball, baseball with his buddies. And he's like, I know I could do a little bit better, but I don't know how. We sat down, we did some work together. And he won the championship. It's like a Hollywood movie. It was low level community work, but I also have helped ex executives. So again, I come in and they go, I'm not touching my, like all these rubbing hands. It doesn't make any sense. I go, give me 15 minutes. I'll explain the science to it. And if it doesn't work, we walk away. And then that guy is one of my best clients. So it's those stories when you shift somebody's life. And that's what we want to do as entrepreneurs, is shift somebody's life. To have that power, that's the magic. Because when you get to do that and you have the skills that only you could bring, man, it's special. I know I'm not good for everybody, but I know the people that are supposed to come to me, it's like a divine falling, how they come together. And the ghostwriting as well is all these people. I'm working with this 90-year-old woman who her family left Belgium. And right at, so she's a Holocaust survivor, but she wasn't at one of the camps. And one day we're talking and she burst out crying She goes, not only have you helped me heal some things, but you got me this story that's out, it's coming out very soon. And she goes, nobody else could have done this. I'm 90. This is not the first time I've tried. And when I sit with a client like that, who knows that I give them that safe space that to be the best for them, for themselves, those are the wins for me. That's more than anything else. Being an entrepreneur is the impact that I can help move people along to their impact in the bigger world.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much for joining me,
Thank
David.
you, sir.
I'll put all your contact details and everything onto the podcast. Where's your favorite place for people to get hold of you?
Well, the great thing is my name is David Chemetsky. It's a very unique name. I might be the only David Chemetsky in the world. So davidchemetsky.com, and you can find my podcast there. You can find some of the books that I've published. And I'd love to just contact and anybody who is in remotely interested, I'll give you an hour of my time for free to have that consultation, and you'll walk away with some real concrete roadmaps.
Magic. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Always.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.